Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Graham Hart Show here on Cornwall Revolution Radio, ladies and gentlemen, and out of grism.blogspot.com, where Mammy welcomes you to the best news aggregate site on the World Wide Web. It's great to have your company, folks. If you want to join us in the chat room, please do. Go out, make sure you're listening from mammy's.blogspot.com. That's grism.blogspot.com, I beg your pardon. And join us in the chat room. Click on the HTML5 chat link at the top right-hand side of the page, just below the player of your choice. As always, I am joined by my out-of-Ireland co-host, Bryzer. Good evening, Bry, and I hope all is good in Ireland, my friend.
Yes, good evening, Graham. All is very good here. Weather is amazing, you know, which is great. And a little bit cooler, which is nice, because it was really getting too hot there.
Yes, it was. Yes, it's the same here.
It's come down a couple of degrees now, so it's nice now. It's a bit pleasant, you know. It's
yes, bearable. Yes.
Last week it was just too much now.
Yes, it was. You couldn't even go outside. It was just too hot. I was walking the dog at 10 o'clock at night. But that was nice. Peaceful. Anyway, this evening, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a returning guest and a wonderful researcher who's researched so many topics. I don't know where to go, what this guy is doing. Sometimes it's law, sometimes it's the Bible. But tonight we're talking vaccines. And I am absolutely delighted to welcome back Clint Richardson to the show. Good evening, Clint. I hope all is well to you, my friend.
Greetings. All is good. Thanks.
Good, good, good. So you've been doing some more research. I didn't know you'd done any before, Clint, to be honest with you. But you've been doing some research on vaccines, and some new information has come to light.
Yeah, well, I made a vaccine documentary in about 2011, yeah. And it's called Lethal Injection, The Story of Vaccination. It's on YouTube. Of course, everything I do is free. So that was my first sort of venture into it. And the reason I did it in the first place was because I had cancer when I was young. And I kind of wanted to know why the hell I was getting cancer at the age of 17. That sort of led me into the vaccine arena, where I found out that they were, mixing these vaccines with monkey kidney tissue, just kind of pounding it in there, old school, without any technology, and then injecting it into people. And you had the SV40, which is just one of many simian or monkey viruses that are actually still being found in most cancers today. And right. Those, of course, were delivered through vaccines, and that's a very public fact at this point. And yet, it seems like nothing's ever been done about it. No one's ever got the blame for it. No one's ever got taken down. No pharmaceutical companies got in trouble. And so, you know, that led me to the documentary. And since then, we sort of have moved past all of the basic vaccination stuff that you hear around the way, and have gotten much more deep into just what is being delivered through these needles. And it's not even so much a case of do vaccines work or not. Well, that's not even the question that I even care to address at this point, because, you know, you can look at the origin of a vaccine and say, well, obviously they don't work. And the origin of a vaccine is that they used to drag a cow along to the public square, and I have a couple pictures of this in my latest blog article, but they used to drag a cow along in the public square, and the cow was infected with the cowpox disease, and they would scrape the skin, make little marks from the cow on the cow, or they would scrape the bottom of the hoof in Edward Jenner's day, and literally they would cut your skin open and scrape that pus. You got to keep in mind the word virus, when you look it up in the old dictionary, virus is defined as pus. So they would take the pus or the virus and they would scrape it into you, and that would be called vaccine.
That sounds terrible.
And you can look at the cartoons, you know, the satire of the time, and you can see that people, you know, the cartoons, people are growing things out of them, because you're literally putting something foreign, you're corrupting your blood. And you're doing something to the internal structure and the communication structure and immunization structure of the body, to where it's now producing things that aren't human. And that's really ultimately when it comes to disease. My personal opinion, after all these 10 years of research, really comes down to the fact that all modern disease, whether it be cancer or autism or AIDS, what was not HIV, but AIDS, all these different dementias from Parkinson's to Alzheimer's. And I have proof positive that these are caused from viral infections that are being delivered through these vaccines and other medicines. So you got to keep in mind, vaccines wouldn't be the only thing that you're injecting into your body. If you watch a late night commercial here in America anyway, you're going to get all kinds of advertisements for pharmaceutical drugs that are specifically the injectable ones. And they're going to tell you, you know, this vaccine or this injectable drug might cause death. It might cause cancer. It might cause a heart attack. It might cause all the leading causes of death in the world. And I'm amazed that nobody has put these pieces together and said, well, obviously, if heart attack is the number one cause of death in the world, followed by cancer, and then followed by doctor-caused death, which is called iatrogenic medicine or doctor-caused death.
Yeah.
That's the third leading cause in the world, or at least in the United States.
So doctor
then,
error.
You know, something's wrong here, because those are the symptoms of vaccines. Those are the symptoms of medicines. Right, those are the symptoms that you see listed on all the TV commercials that are advertising you drugs.
Hmm.
Something's wrong here.
Absolutely, absolutely, and the number of people that are dying from Dr. Error. That's not a name of a doctor, by the way. Error in doctors. The errors they make, and this must be coming from their education, I would have thought. Or are they all psychopaths?
I put this blog piece together, and it's one I highly recommend. The last two pieces I did are highly recommended, because you look at the history of – and the point that I was trying to make when I first started this was that, look, doctors are nothing more and nothing less than spokesmodels, just like Ronald Reagan was a spokesmodel before he was a president, model for cigarettes, right, and that kind of thing, which is funny to look at the history of that.
Yeah.
You go and you look at these pictures from various aspects of history, all the way back into the late 1800s into the early 60s and 70s, and all you see are doctors advertising cigarettes, for instance, right? Before cigarettes were known to cause all these diseases. You had doctors recommending a certain brand of cigarettes, and, you know, more doctors smoke this brand than it. Smoke these cigarettes to cure throat irritation, right? Smoke these cigarettes. They were even selling them to children. You go to alcohol, you see doctors selling alcohol as elixirs and tonics, and you see these advertisements where there's one advertisement that I put up there, which was a bunch of Boy Scouts crowded around a Budweiser tin full of beer, and it talked about peer pressure, and it was like, no, go ahead. We make these for – kids are one of our biggest customers. There was not even any question that, you know, for instance, in my generation and older – or younger, excuse me – we're familiar with the notion that you know, you make the joke, for instance, that you have a colicky baby, you're going to give it a thimble of whiskey, right?
Yeah.
And to me, that was always a joke until I saw the advertisements, until I saw doctors recommending things like heroin and PCP and amphetamines and, you know, Coca-Cola with the Coca-Cola had basically, you know, coca leaves or caffeine, cocaine. 7-Up was another tonic that was found in soda fountains. And soda fountains were actually all in pharmacies. I did not know this because I didn't grow up in that time. But you would go to a pharmacy to go to a soda fountain. And in that soda fountain, you'd have Coca-Cola with cocaine. You'd have 7-Up with lithium. And you'd have other quote-unquote elixirs and tonics that were being sold and recommended by doctors for their good health qualities and benefits. Okay, you had Bayer Pharmaceuticals. They didn't just do aspirin. Bayer Pharmaceuticals, one of their biggest drugs for children was heroin. Right? I want you to think for a moment. I want you to think a moment about – you remember the show Leave It to Beaver?
No.
No. didn't really have that here.
You didn't have that there. Well, any kind of show that portrayed the housewife of the 50s, where they're just all peppy and the husband goes to work and the wife stays home and cleans house all day and everybody's house is spotless and everything is spotless and everything is just peachy keen and wonderful, right?
Yeah.
That's the 50s. Well, turns out most of those mothers, most of those housewives that we look back and we say, why aren't things – what happened? What happened to the classic housewife and the classic husband that goes to work, you know, with his briefcase? Turns out doctors with their smiley little faces were recommending the housewives to take amphetamines, meth, amphetamines. So you're looking at June Cleaver or Ozzie and Harriet and all those different sitcoms that we used to have showing that those people were all high on meth. What does a person nowadays tell you? I'm so high on meth that I want to clean house. I could clean the house. I have nothing to do. I got to put my energy somewhere. I got to clean the house.
Wow.
That's what's been happening. And so as I'm looking at this and I'm putting all these ads together in this blog, I'm starting to figure out that each generation has been high on a different drug.
Right.
Right. The doctor will recommend it and then it'll become illegal and then you'll be all over the counter. But like from one generation to the next, we're all on different drugs. We can't relate to each other because we're all – why is culture changing so vastly between generation and generation? Why did we go from the roaring 20s into the Great Depression and then into the 40s and 50s into the 60s and 70s where you had all this debauchery and, you know, what we consider – I always considered the 60s and 70s, you know, the free love and all that stuff. That was the psychosis aspect of a whole generation being on methamphetamines as if you're drinking a Coca-Cola or drinking water. Yeah. That is what was actually happening. You're going from highs. You're like – societies have been like manic depressant problems. You're going from highs to lows. You would call them depressions. It's not an economic depression. It's freaking psychosis from being on certain kinds of drugs for so long that we think are okay because doctors are recommending them as spokesmodels.
Absolutely. Doctors are always right. I was talking about this yesterday to someone. People will never go against their doctor. That's one of the big problems we have. My daughter is very into vaccines and, you know, I got a grandson and a great-grandson now that have had no injection. They're just happy, healthy kids, you know. They look wonderful, and they're just very happy children and very healthy. But she's tried to push that out there as much as she can, so she's very much into what you're on about with vaccines, Clint. But I remember some of the adverts. I think it's the Camel one that I remember. It's the favorite cigarette of all doctors is Camel.
Yeah. I'm amazing.
Yeah.
And what sparred me into this is there was we have Jimmy Kimmel, the late night show with Jimmy Kimmel here, and he did a stand-up routine where he's basically saying, you know, take your vaccines. And he got a bunch of doctors to come on who said, we believe in vaccination. Don't be jerks. Take your vaccines. And it was it would be funny to people who don't know what vaccines are, that the common public, the useful idiots, there is the common public laughing and thinking we're all crazy for actually looking into what's in vaccines and saying, wait, I'm not taking them. I'm putting that. I'm not tainting my blood. Absolutely not. I'm not going to certainly not going to taint my children's blood. So, I mean, we're looking at right now, if you look at the typical advertisement for vaccines, what is it? It's a doctor or a nurse with a stethoscope in a uniform, in a white uniform. That is where. So they're, in other words, they're the new spokesmodels. What are they spokesmodeling? They're spokesmodeling for medicines, vaccines that are extremely, extremely dangerous because they have no idea what it is that they're actually advertising. The cause of all disease, in my opinion. And what's the other thing they're advertising now? How about marijuana?
Yeah.
Okay, I looked back into the cannabis and how cannabis used to be sold. Guess who was promoting cannabis and canning it back then? It was the same pharmaceutical companies that are getting back into it now. And guess who was promoting it? The doctors. The doctors were promoting the cannabis. And the cannabis the cannabis of today is not the cannabis of yesteryear. We're talking about genetically altered Monsanto double helix DNA altered stuff that has no healing qualities of the stuff that Cheech and Chong used to smoke.
Yeah, we gotta grow our own. We have to grow our own, and we have to make sure we have the right seeds.
Yeah, you better go way back in history and get some good seeds.
Because it is having great, cannabis oil especially is having and a wonderful, has proved to be a wonderful drug for cancer.
Oh, absolutely. But again, see, I know people that are actually doing what I think is the right thing to do, which is to actually juice the whole plant.
Okay.
Because when you're usually looking at something in nature, you're generally looking at the way the thing works as a whole, not as its unique parts. And so when you juice the plant, you're not getting it, you're not burning it, so you're not causing the carbonylization, so you're not getting high, because you have to actually burn the plant to get the effect of the THC to actually do anything. But if you're drinking it, juicing it, without ever bringing it to that point where it alters into the THC that makes you high, well, then you're not even getting high from it. You're just drinking a juice that is made from the whole plant. And so you're getting every particular drug, or I shouldn't even say drug, every part or constituent of the plant that works together to cure disease.
Right.
So I'm a firm believer in you know, as they say, whole foods, not just taking and taking one part of it. And honestly, the way that you control something is that you take the whole and you make it a part, you compound it with some other drug, and now it's an illegal substance. Plant isn't illegal, but a compounded drug is.
But cannabis oil has been very effective. I'm thinking sure. of Rick Simpson. You know, what he achieved with it was remarkable.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's doing it the right way.
Yeah.
That's
exactly
the other thing.
Yeah, and he's had great success. It would certainly be my first choice, I think. And you can take, I believe you can take something with it that will take the high away. You can still, it'll still have the THC. There's something you can put with it that'll take away the high. Though why anyone would do that, I don't know. Speaking personally, I've written a few good tunes.
Well, you gotta realize too, I don't call it marijuana. First of all, marijuana is a Mexican term. That's a slang term. It's not even the correct use of the word. You're supposed to call it cannabis. So I call it cannabis. That's what it is. Marijuana is a slang term that they used in the propaganda campaigns because they wanted you to think that if you smoked pot or you smoked marijuana, you'd be just like those filthy Mexicans back in the whatever it was, 40s or 50s, right? That was the campaign at the time to scare us all into, you know, what was it called? Reefer madness and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that I don't even give them the benefit of calling it marijuana.
No.
And you shouldn't either, because that's their term that they're using and they define it. But cannabis is the plant itself. That's the scientific term, and that's the only one you should use, honestly. But you know, the good stuff only has like 1%, 2% at the most THC.
Okay.
That's why they were such a spiritual that's why it was such a spiritual experience. You could smoke it like more like tobacco, like a whole cigarette, and have a clarity, an actual natural high, as opposed to getting some 20-30% or all these different, you know, waxes and all this stuff that you can get today. You know, that was the good stuff, and that's the stuff that I would like to get my hands on, honestly.
Well, they use that word marijuana, I think, to get that through the U.S. Congress, Clint, didn't they? It was called cannabis, and then everyone used cannabis, and then they changed it to marijuana to say it was dangerous, to push it through to make it illegal.
Yeah, I have it in one of my blogs. I defined the two terms, and they're very different terms. Because, again, one is a scientific name and one is a word that is you know, controlled. It's a legal term, as opposed to a scientific term. And see, the law, basically, the way the law operates is that science cannot be regular. You can't stop someone from doing science as long as it's not hurting somebody. But medical, when it comes to something medical, that's why they call it medical marijuana.
Right.
Medical is a proprietary term. It's property. In other words, all the legal language is a property. So when you're saying marijuana, you're referring to a term that is a legal property of government. They took it and redefined it for their purposes, as you say.
Yeah.
So, Clint, this whole push for legalization of marijuana or medical marijuana, that's just a big scam, really, isn't it? Because it's kind of saying, well, look, we're kind of now hip and liberal guys. You know, you can go and smoke your joints and everything's cool. We're not going to arrest you. And everyone's celebrating, and that's great.
Well, it's very important in the United States, anyway, to understand that it's still illegal everywhere because it's federally illegal. People believe that because they have a state license that somehow trumps the federal law. But you gotta remember that most people out there are publics. They're U.S. citizens. They're not state citizens. And they get confused that because they have a state license, that protects them against federal law. But at any time, they can enforce federal laws. Just because they're not enforcing the law does not make it any more legal, right? So what you have is what's called a license. And that's the whole purpose and point of the legal system, is to give you permission to do something illegal, right? So you have a license to do something that is still illegal. If it was decriminalized, it would not be legal or illegal. It would just be, which is more of a natural state. But instead, you need a license, right? You need either that or you need a state that has passed. But even in states that have passed it, like Colorado recreationally, people, I think, are not remembering that they are federal citizens first.
Right.
Right. That's what the birth certificate, that's what the person is, that's what your name is, your straw man. So it's always illegal, you know, just because you have a license. That's what people don't seem to remember. And I'm very wary of anybody who is flaunting the fact that they've got a license or whatever, you know. I think it's a very dangerous game you're playing.
Yeah. How do you need a license for nature?
Well, that's just it. You don't, but you do need a license for marijuana, because that's a word.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's so crazy, you know.
Well, that's the good. That's the big spin on the word marijuana, whereas cannabis is the name of the plant.
Well, and what's interesting is if you actually look at some of if they arrest somebody, say for growing plants or for possession of a drug, well. Is it a drug? Because it's a plant. So plant cannot, by definition, be a drug. If you look up then the definition of drug, it is a compound of two or more chemicals. So a drug must be at least two or more things. Is marijuana is cannabis two or more things?
No.
So how can it be a drug? The trick is to never make you never to you got to believe that it's a drug. What is a drug? A drug is an article. It's a word. It means nothing, right? That's their definition of what something is. So you look at these criminal complaints, these filings for people, and they're admitting to possession of a drug when in fact they're holding a plant. Because they're not looking at the definition of the words, but. You can check off each little you violated U.S. code section this, section that. Okay, it says I'm holding a drug, but wait a minute, I'm not. I'm holding a plant. It's not a compound. It's not a compounded scientific, you know, reconstruction of something. It's not two or more chemicals put together to form a quote unquote drug. So you can't charge me for that.
Interesting.
But I mean, who's gonna contemplate that? You know, everybody trusts government.
I think they're getting less and less. That's for sure. Wow, Facebook. I'm BB9. Hi, Frederick, and everyone in the chat room. BB9 used the term, when you're banned, shadow banned. shadow banned. Yeah, I'm shadow banned from Facebook, but I go there and just look at other people's posts, and I'm quite surprised at what I'm seeing of late. People who I'd never thought would be posting this stuff are posting this stuff, and it's moving towards a crescendo, I think. I think people are really beginning. The man in the street now realizes that the news channels, mainstream news, are lying to them all the time. They don't call it lying. They say, why isn't this on the TV? Why is mainstream not mentioning this? So they're getting wise. We're getting there.
Well, you know, one of the hard lessons for me, the really hard lessons for me, was to realize. You know, when you're talking about how things work, you try to keep your emotions out of it. How does the legal system work, right? You just want to know. You don't want to put your opinion in there. You just want to know how it actually works. And so you look at it and you realize, you know, you remember the Fox News, for instance, was in a lawsuit for lying to or disclosing false information, and the court judged ruled in their favor, saying, well, it's an entertainment. It doesn't have to tell the truth. It's entertainment, right? What else does Fox make? Oh, I don't know. The Simpsons, the Family Guy, cartoons and television shows that are fiction, movies that are fiction. Well, what do you think the news is? It doesn't have to be true. And what I found out is that it's perfectly, we'll use the word legal. It's perfectly legal to lie to the public. Politicians can lie to the public. Corporations can lie to the public. But what they can't do is lie to government under oath. So when you're talking to government, so for instance, if I was to say something or write something to the IRS, if I lie to the IRS, that is a federal penalty. But if the IRS lies to me, that's nothing. That doesn't mean anything. It's not illegal for government to lie. In fact, if you think about it, it's actually in the best interests of national security to lie to the public. Because such a corrupt organization as any government out there would have to have secrets, would have to lie to maintain the secrets to keep them in power. So if you think of it logically, then yeah, it makes sense. Of course government can lie to its people. It almost has to. Because otherwise, how could it have any power? So the point is, no news station is required to tell you the truth ever. But if you're in front of government or anything else like that, you're under oath, then you must tell the truth to government. Government doesn't have to lie to you. It can lie to you, but you can't lie to government. And likewise, that's why I only research certain documents in government. For instance, the comprehensive annual financial reports that I did a documentary on, those are audited financial statements of government. You find out all kinds of shit in there that you will never find anywhere else. They don't talk about it in government. They don't mention it. But it's, you know, if you lie in that report, which is the financial report of government, that you're under oath. You are expected to tell the truth to government. If you don't, you can get in trouble. That doesn't mean they have to then come around and tell you the truth about what's in that report, right? Because it's there for you to read. Most people have never even heard of them. So you gotta realize that at any time government can lie to you, and you also have to realize the source that you're reading, is that source an official source? Or is it, say, a tweet from Donald Trump or a document that's not specifically official or required to be truthful? And honestly, most aren't. Most of it is it's all a big, giant, manufactured, fictional lie. Mm. But if you just realize that, man, remember that government and television and anyone – there is no law that says you can't lie. There isn't. Think about it. Go to the U.S. code. Go to your code over there and find the code that says you can't lie to the public. It's not there.
Well, we know they do lie anyway all the time. But this vaccines, going back to these vaccines, the cause of what we would call over here cot death. And autism. I mean, they've gone through I don't know about cot death or what's it? How do you say it? SIDS. What did that stand for again, Clint?
SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. It's where your baby just you come in and the baby's dead all of a sudden overnight.
Oh, yeah.
And they call it crib, sudden crib death.
Yeah, it's cock death over here.
But yeah, we've always heard, and it's always been, vaccine companies and advocates have always denied, doctors especially have always denied that vaccines cause autism, right? It's one of the biggest debates ever. And so I was listening to Dr. Vera Scheibner, who's one of my personal heroes. She's a foreign doctor who was big in discovering the cancer viruses way back when. And she, I believe she, her and Bernice Eddy and a couple other doctors back then lost their ability to be doctors and to be able to study these things because they came forward to tell the truth about these things, right?
Yeah.
And so they'll lose their tenure or they'll lose their ability to, have any kind of authority or write papers and that kind of thing. So this is actually directly from, and this is the first time I've ever seen this, this is directly from the drug insert label, okay? This is Tripedia. Tripedia is a package insert and label information, page 3 of 4. And it talks about the adverse events that were reported after it was already released. Okay. Now, I'm just going to read this to you. I can't even pronounce some of these things. It says, in the vaccine insert, so any doctor that has ever said that vaccines don't cause autism or anything else could actually be sued because it says right in this vaccine label that autism is, in fact, an adverse side effect. Adverse events reported during post-approval use of Tripedia vaccine include idiopathic thrombocytopenic purpura, and I haven't looked that up yet, SIDS, which is sudden infant death syndrome, anaphylactic reaction, which would, that could be anything that's, a bee sting, that kind of thing, cellulitis. Why does everybody have cellulite? Is that natural or is that coming from vaccines? Autism. Convulsion, grand mal seizure convulsions, encephalopathy, which is like things like mad cow disease for humans, which is the thing I've been studying a lot. Okay, that's what encephalopathy, your holes in the brain, that's what causes your dementias and everything else. Hypotonia, neuropathy, somnolence and apnea, like sleep apnea. Why is everybody snoring? Everybody, I mean, there's the events were included in the list because of the seriousness and frequency of reporting, because these events are reported voluntarily from a population that doesn't even know they can report them half the time, of uncertain size. It is not always possible to reliably estimate their frequencies or to establish a causal relationship to components of the Tripedia vaccine. So here's a vaccine saying that reported side effects are SIDS and autism. Hmm. Okay, it's the debate over.
They're not really lying. They're telling the truth here, really, aren't they? They're telling you the truth, but then they're lying about the truth.
In this particular case, they can't lie. And that's why they do... That's why they do these ridiculous – I don't know if you have these commercials over there for these drugs.
No.
Well, so over here, you'll have these commercials for these drugs, and it's a purple bouncing ball, and it's all happy, and you're watching the screen. You're kind of not paying attention to what they're actually saying. But in the meantime, they're listing all the possible side effects of these drugs. This will help you lose weight, but it also might cause you heart attack, grand mal seizure, death, all these different horrible, horrible diseases, cancers, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of prion diseases, which we'll talk about. But, you're watching that. And in the background, of course, what you're focusing on are happy people that just, are dancing people that have taken the drug and are all healthy now. Right. But at the same time, they're showing you the happiness. They're telling you the horrors of basically what everybody's suffering from out there, right? All these diseases that never existed 100 years ago.
Yeah.
The reason that they're doing that is the important part, because what that is a public disclosure. They have to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Okay, they cannot not tell you the side effects. They have to. And you'll notice that in each one of those ads, if you ever see them, you look them up on YouTube. They're all over the place, you know. In each of those ads, it says, see our ad in some magazine, Golf Magazine or Time Magazine or some one of these magazines. Go to that magazine to get the full disclosure, basically. And you'll go to some of these magazines. I don't know if you've seen some of them, but my God, these magazines have become basically paid disclosures where you'll have three or four pages full of this drug and how it works and how it will harm you and how the side effects and everything of what it does. I mean, you're not looking at an entertainment magazine. You'll have a few articles, but most of it is advertising for these drugs. And the reason they do that is full disclosure. Because you know, of all people, you guys know the Talmudic, you know, the notion that if we tell you how we're going to harm you, then it's your fault, right?
Right.
We're off the hook. As long as they're disclosing this, why else would they put these drug commercials on television and tell you that it's pretty much going to just destroy your life and give you all these horrible side effects or kill you or cause suicidal thoughts? Why are they going to tell you that unless they have to? They obviously have to, and then they refer you to the full disclosure, and if you're stupid enough to take that drug, that's your fault. We disclosed it to you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But autism is the big thing. God, they're advertising for jobs now. That I seem to notice that. We're looking for nurses for work with people with autism. I'm looking at some figures here. 1975, 1 in 5,000. 85, 1 in 2,500. And then the last one, the figure is up to, goes up to 2013. 1 in 50 people, Clint. I mean, that is phenomenal. That's a phenomenal amount of people, and those people need looking after.
And I researched that fully.
Okay.
And did a couple of articles, and I'm looking for one of them right now because I've got to read you some of these, some of the speeches that, some of the speeches that were given by. Oh, what was it? It was by like MPs in England and stuff where they're just absolutely drooling at the mouth to get this new workforce of children, right? I mean, they're dying to get their hands on this pliable workforce of people who essentially aren't going to complain, who like to do repetitive things, right? And you're reading these speeches, or you're hearing these speeches given by some of these MPs and some of these higher corporate, you know, officials, and they are absolutely loving the idea that they're going to get an autistic workforce, not have to deal with us normal people. Absolutely.
Staggering.
And the amount of public funding also that goes to this, I mean, if you have an autistic child, you have so much available to you. They want to take your child. They want you to give it up, put it into these public programs, and they do I don't remember the words to describe it, but they do basically a whole life plan where they put you through school, they get you an apartment, and they get you a specific job suited to your specific autistic needs. And they basically, if you want to really put it into the best terms, if you're familiar with, what's it called, Brave New World, the Brave New World model, they're basically creating a bunch of deltas.
Yeah.
If you're familiar with the alpha, beta, delta, gamma, yeah. You know, the delta class were the idiots, basically, if you will, behind the counters, had no concept, you know, no higher functioning thought process, and they were at the lowest end of jobs. That is what they're basically trying to create. And I say that because we did a whole round table with a bunch of doctors, people like myself who were researchers, and General Stubblebine and what's her name, I can't remember her name, but she, the things that were being disclosed were absolutely frightening in the context of the plans behind creating autism, creating an autistic workforce, creating a whole subpopulation, like you said, a delta, if you will, a delta population. I mean, it was frightening to hear. And these speeches, which I don't know where I put those, but the speeches that you hear from these MPs, just look them up, you know, speech about autism. It's frightening. It's truly, truly frightening and sicker than anything I've ever witnessed, to see these people drooling, veritably drooling at getting their hands on this, you know, cheap labor force, basically.
Yeah, there's another thing as well, Clint, the role of these charities and NGOs and all of this as well. That's huge what they're doing, because they're pushing it out there, you know, particularly children's charities. Oh, you know, you have to protect your child and give the Gardasil vaccine because, you know, the boy or the girl, boy, you know, could get cervical cancer. The boy gets cervical cancer. You know, it's all, you know, that's why I'd never give money to these charities anymore, knowing what they do. And sometimes when I see them, if they're collecting, I explain this to them, you know. And some of them kind of get it, but most of them don't, you know. They're just, having a clue, you know. But it's a huge industry here. It's all linked. And again, there was a report, I saw an article in the UK where, particularly among the poor people, a lot of the younger people were dying off for some strange reason, you know. There was all sorts of blame put on, oh, the cold weather, flu, and all the rest of it. But in the meantime, they were saying, well, get your flu vaccines and all of these things. So they're just twisting everything. Everything's been twisted around. And
unfortunately, you know, you go back to some of the quotes, right, for the purpose of education versus the modern sort of push to turn education, right? You could read like H.L. Mencken, the aim of public education is not to spread enlightenment at all. It is simply to reduce as many individuals as possible to the same safe level, to breed and train a standardized citizenry and to put down dissent and originality, right? John D. Rockefeller, he says, I don't want a nation of thinkers. I want a nation of workers. You know, you go to Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. The quality of education given to the lower class must be of the poorest sort, so that the mode of ignorance isolating the inferior class from the superior class is and remains incomprehensible to the inferior class. With such an initial handicap, even bright lower class individuals have little, if any, hope of extricating themselves their assigned lot in life. This form of slavery is essential to maintain some measure of social order, peace, and tranquility for the ruling upper class, right? And that fits in, again, right with Huxley, where he says a really efficient totalitarian state would be one in which the all-powerful executive of political bosses, who created the Common Core system, of course, and their army of managers, right? We don't have, you know, if you look at the federal system, for instance, in the United States, I'm sorry, I'm always referencing the U.S., but the United States, you know, if you look at there's only one elected person in the United States in the executive branch, right? Everybody else is an employee. Everybody else is hired or appointed, right? You elect the president, and then you have vice president is actually a whole different story, but the president, that's it, man. Everybody else is under the president. They're all his employees, but everybody in the military, everybody, you know, millions and millions and millions and millions, millions of people, CIA, FBI, et cetera, et cetera. All of them are employees. They're appointed. So you have an executive of political bosses and their army of managers control a population of slaves who do not have to be coerced because they love their servitude. To make them love it is the task assigned. In present-day totalitarian states, to ministries of propaganda, newspaper editors, and school teachers. school teachers. Most men and women will grow up to love their servitude and will never dream of revolution. So you see this all coming, all these quotes of old coming to fruition now. When you've got a completely ignorant class of school teachers, right, who know what they're teaching is complete crap, but they do it anyway because, hey, it's patriotic, right? You're supposed to do it. You've got the drug culture that we are talking about, which is a big part of the Brave New World model, where everybody's on Soma, right? The drug of the populace, right? You've got this deliberate dumbing down of America, as Charlotte Isherbit said. You've got a complete package going on, and it's, you know, of course, Americanism, democracy, as they call it, is spreading everywhere like a disease. So you've got some serious, serious problems going on right now. And behind it all are these vaccines, which make you dumb, which give you autism, which give you disease, and, of course, all other pharmaceutical drugs that are now, which were once prescribed by doctors, methamphetamines, heroin, are now rampant everywhere. I mean, I live in Utah, a really nice part of Utah, and it's, I mean, the heroin in the high schools, the grammar schools, you wouldn't believe. So
it's the same with age as well. I see kids 10 or 11, 12 now smoking weed and skunk as well, you know, strong stuff. I think they need to let their brain develop first before they even think about touching this stuff, you know. It's just so sad.
I believe we should, too. Honestly, I don't think we should be partaking in any of this genetically altered stuff because you're not getting what you think you're getting. I mean, if you're justifying it by saying it's natural, you can't. It's not natural. It's been altered. So you don't have that excuse anymore. You're now taking a pharmaceutical property. That's the problem. You see, that's it's no longer what you found in nature. It's kind of like the wheat, right? All the wheat was taken over by these genetically altered. So that's why everybody's allergic to wheat. It's why we in America have so many problems with cows and the milk, because we got the B cows and you guys over in Europe have the A cows. I can't remember how that works, but we're just now starting to get milk from cows that are A instead of B, and I can't remember how that works. But it you know, if you have an allergy to milk and you drink the milk from the A cow, there's no problem. We got all the shit over here, basically. So
I always remember that, Clint, when I was in the States, that if I drank the milk or ate cheese or butter, it was like, oh my God, this is horrible. I couldn't believe how bad it was, you know.
Yeah.
So at least here we still have still pretty good, but you know, the Monsantos of the world are still coming in trying to mess it all up here too, so you know. They're coming after us as well here, you know. That's where we're going.
Well, you know, if you wanna actually get into what's being delivered through these vaccines, we can do that, because it's not the vaccine itself that even matters. You know, the fact that you're putting a disease into your body is pretty stupid anyway, but it's what else is in, you know, what else is being directly injected and bypassing all the body's natural defenses, right, directly into your serum or your blood or your plasma, right? What is being injected into your body? And that's really all that matters. Whether they work or not is not even a blip on my radar anymore. It's like a pointless debate, because if you're looking at that, then you're not looking at everything else that for some reason is in these vaccines. And to us, the reason, you know, and when I say us, I've been working with Patrick Jordan, who's got about 14 books on the subject. We're planning on doing a documentary about all this. I don't know when it's going to get off the ground or if anybody's ever going to support us. But I mean, I want you to imagine you've just discovered the cause of all the diseases out there that are modern, that they keep coming up with new names for: Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, all these early onset Alzheimer's, early onset Parkinson's, autism, AIDS, all these things that people are suffering from, and you can track them down to one single event, one thing that causes that. Imagine having that burden, you know, on your mind and on your heart all the time, knowing that the cause of disease is coming from these vaccines. And like I said, other injectable medicines. Because the problem with your injection, and I'll give you a good example. If I go and I get a tasty steak and I eat it raw and the blood is, you know, pouring out and whatever, however you like it, not my style, but if I do that, I'm ingesting that blood, and that blood in my stomach gets converted into a usable food substance that the rest of my body can actually then absorb and use as it should. Because I'm not breaking with any of the channels that would otherwise allow that blood to enter my own blood. I'm breaking it down. I'm turning it into a protein that I can actually then absorb, right? But what's the difference between that and when I inject that cow blood, or what they call in the vaccine world serum, cow serum, serum sickness postulate? Is that's what Patrick Jordan says the cause of most sickness and illness is serum sickness, blood. Because what you're doing is you're injecting cow blood that the vaccines were growing on directly into your own system, bypassing the stomach and all its protections, and you're putting that and proteins and all kinds of other things into your body, purposefully bypassing all the safety measures that are there to protect your blood and keep it pure. It's one of the main things in all religions and all cultures is to have pure blood. That's not just a racial thing. That is protecting the blood from all outside influences, right? So what are you doing, man? This is no longer that blood is no longer a food. That blood, now that serum or those proteins or prions that are being injected into you, which the vaccine inserts tell you flat out, we cannot filter out all of the protein and prions and blood that these vaccines are grown on. You're injecting that then right into your body. And guess what? That blood is going to, it's not going to act like food. It's not going to break down into a protein. It's going to act like blood. And it's going to try to interact with your cells. It's going to attach itself or try to attach itself to various aspects of your body, depending on what that particular protein or prion is designed to do. And guess what? Your whole body is a system of communication devices. And it starts reprogramming, or what they call unfolding, evolving your cells into something that it can communicate with. And suddenly you have a disease. This is the cause of modern disease. This is the cause of cancers. The prion, which we all have naturally, which they're programmed to be human prions, that foreign prion will enter your body, attach to the human, and it will unfold, which is what we call mad cow disease or Christoph Jakob's disease, Kuru, that sort of thing. It'll start unfolding the cell, and because prions are lined up in lines, it'll start infecting it, and you'll get what looks like Swiss cheese, a holes or encephalopathy in your brain. That's what mad cow disease is spongiform encephalopathy. Well, you do an autopsy on an Alzheimer's patient, you see holes in the brain. You do an autopsy on a Parkinson's patient, you see holes in the brain. Okay, this is what's happening to everybody who's ever been vaccinated. And prions, unfortunately, it's a very interesting research topic because they can stay dormant at least 50 years. So you could be injected with a vaccine, and 50 years later, those things come alive and start doing their magic, and 2 years later, you're dead of a prion disease, Christoph Jakob's or any of the other basically any of the dementias, the cancers, and everything else, because those protective proteins, prions, which are proteins without a nucleus, they are being reprogrammed, and those are actually what protect your cells from cancer. So if you have no cells or proteins protecting your cells from being attached with cancer viruses, well, then you're going to get cancer.
That's quite incredible. What a way about this. What a way of putting it. Holes in your brain like cheese. Good grief.
Exactly. And that's what's happening.
And the point that the other point you made, God, it slipped my mind now. Sorry, it's gone. how typical. No, it's gone. Sorry. Carry on, Clint. back to you, pal.
Are you suffering from Alzheimer's, I think, Graham?
I think I am, pal, yeah. Yeah, I think
Graham,
I am.
Were you vaccinated much?
I was. No, only three times. I think I had the same as most of my era. I'm a 50s child. So, yeah, just about three. Tetanus. I don't know, the normal three that people have. That's all I had. But then again, when you talk about, and that's the point I was going to make. Yeah, the people who were taking these vaccines, as time goes on, where we were taking three, the generations are now coming through where they've had more than three. And these things are beginning to now come online because they took them years ago, but they're actually now coming online in their body.
What's really frightening, the way that they... At this point, there's a test that you can take where they can scrape your tonsil if you still have your tonsil.
Now they're gone.
That part of the throat, they can scrape and actually do a test for prions. I actually wonder if that's why they started taking people's tonsils out. But that is one of the tests for prions. But the other test is called prionyl cyclic something. And it's actually the scariest thing because they use you're not going to believe this. They use ultrasound.
Yeah.
You know the ultrasound that they use to put on your stomach and look at your baby?
Yeah.
The kind of frequency that comes from, cell phone towers and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That is what they use when they collect a sample of prion-infected protein, and they put in a petri dish and they mix it with healthy human protein or prion. And they bombard it with ultrasound because the ultrasound is what actually takes them and activates them. And then if you have the prion disease, that infected tissue will start overcoming the uninfected tissue. And that's how they test if you had a prion disease or not, right? So think about that for a moment. How much ultrasound is going through the air? How much cell phone radiation are we getting? How many times do we get around that which actually starts to wake up these things that can lie dormant? Mm. I mean, that's a really frightening thought in and of itself.
Because they have this 5G technology coming online as well now.
And I can't even – I mean, I've heard so much stuff about 5G, I don't even know where to start. You know, just reading – I mean, my most important thing for me, because it's the provable thing, is that you can read the financial statements and the financial documents, the forecasts, where they're telling for stockholders – and you can see that they're warning stockholders that they expect the cell phone companies, technology companies, to take a dip in their value for a while they're paying out lawsuits because they're going to harm so many people. They expect so many people to get sick from 5G that they're going to have a lot of lawsuits while they implement it.
Well, there we go. I mean, Jesus. It's fun, isn't it? And we haven't even spoken about what chemtrails can do to you and what's going in the food and everything else. I mean, Christ, what a mix. Talking about mad cow disease, two cows were talking in the field and one said, what do you think about mad cow disease? He said, I don't know. He said, I'm a duck. Okay, it's time for a music break, folks. Go and do what you got to do. Go and make a cup of tea or whatever. Or sit around and listen to B.B. King and Into the Night. And we'll be back right after this. B.B. King, Into the Night. Great, great stuff, Brian. I do love B.B. King. I know about you, Clint.
Great. great stuff, actually. Yeah. Actually, I was wondering, what was the intro that you had in the first hour?
Oh, that's... I made it up myself, which is great because it throws the algorithms out and they can't find out what it is. It's a part of the intro. It's a little bit of a little clip I took from The Goons. And the main music is called Taken. It's from the film The Long Good Friday, starring,
Bob Hoskins.
Bob Hoskins. Thank you, Bri. Mm. It's the outro music from that. It's absolutely brilliant.
Well, I was listening to it, and I was like, you know, I sort of hear a Pink Floyd bass line, and almost, it's like Pink Floyd and ABBA got together and had a baby.
Yeah, that's a good take. It's a great, it is a lovely, I get so many comments about my intro music. It's fabulous, and I never tire of listening it. I always put, you know, I could cut the music down and say, yeah, we'll go on air in a couple of minutes, but I always keep it up because I love listening to it. I never tire of it. Anyway, where do we go from here? We were talking.
Well, I talked about the so there's this guy named Lord David Freud. He's a member of the House of Lords, Minister of Welfare Reform, and he did a speech on March 20th of 2012. And I finally found this. I've been looking for it. I knew it was here. With an estimated this is 2012, so imagine what it is now. With an estimated 433,000 adults with autism in the UK, having only 15% of those in full-time work means that there is too much potential going to waste. Too many people in this country who could be more independent than they are. In short, too much wasted talent. This is a tragedy. But not only for individuals and their families, it is also a tragedy for employers who are missing out on a large national resource of loyal and hardworking staff. So the economy is also missing out. But if I were to utilize this resource and realize its potential, the impetus must be from employers themselves. They must first realize what they are missing out on, then equip themselves to capitalize on it. Yes, to capitalize on people with autism. It makes good business sense to employ people who are reliable, punctual, and loyal. People who have good attention to detail and concentration levels. People who have excellent problem-solving skills and can be analytical, resourceful, and creative. What good employer wouldn't want an employee with those skills?
That's all right. From an MP.
So then you've got this guy over, where is he? This is from The Guardian. It was a Goldman Sachs hiring program.
Okay.
Autism doesn't hold me back. I'm moving up the career ladder. Driving new generation of people with the condition are showing employers there is no limit to what they can do. He's part of the most visible generation of young people with autism our society's ever known. Diagnosed early, this generation have been educated to expect not just a job when they leave school, but a career on par with their neurotypical contemporaries. Autism doesn't hold me back because I have had the correct support from a young age. It's key to have that support both in education and in the workplace. I'm more focused, intense, blah, 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 blah. And it goes on. It says Tom Matters is head of the campaigns at the Society and responsible for its Undiscovered Workforce campaign to get young people with autism into employment. A vast pool of talent among those with autism, he says. And it goes on, that kind of speech. And the point that I'm trying to make here is that the systems have been set up in government. Everybody's heard of that campaign, No Child Left Behind.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I want you to reconsider what that actually means, because what that means, and when you apply it into the legal system, it means that no child can be denied a quote-unquote education, right? So, in other words, all this money, education suddenly became a financial, capitalistic nightmare. I mean, the amount of money that is now being put into the education system by companies like Dell Computers and Microsoft on just special disabilities and learning is it's you would not believe the amount of money that's going in there. Then they passed all these acts, free appropriate publication acts, and all these different, you know, No Child Left Behind kind of things, which in fact are specifically to take children from an early age, put them in special programs, pay for it all through taxpayer money, and essentially provide a free appropriate public education to each person with a disability who is in the school district's jurisdiction, regardless of the nature or severity of the person's disability. And it prohibits state and local governments from discriminating on the basis of disability. You're going to have to hire these people. You go on, you start looking at the legal aspect of this, and they have created an entire what they call vocational transition plan.
Yeah. Okay? It seems like it, yeah.
It's like all students who receive special education programs and services through their schools, it's a careful process which determines where the student needs to live, work, and play as an adult. Okay.
Yeah.
You understand what that means, right? That is a slave. Like I said, they're building a new society, a new lesser sort of, I don't know how to explain it, but that delta from Brave New World, they're building a workforce very happily and very hungrily of autistic children. They're not doing something to stop autism. What they're doing is trying to control it. My belief is that they're trying to get all these mistakes they've made where they've gone a little too far with the autism. Now they're pulling back. You're seeing kids that have it but are still functional. That's what they want.
Yeah.
That's what they want. Aldous Huxley, one of my favorite quotes of his, he says, "Till at last the child's mind is these suggestions, and the sum of these suggestions is the child's mind. And not the child's mind only, the adult's mind too, all his life long." I mean, that's exactly what this is. It's exactly what this autism education system is to train the children to grow up with autism, to be productive members of society, and to live in their little frickin' tiny apartments that are paid for. Basically, their whole life is basically to work in order to live, in order to play. I mean, that's basically what it is.
It's a cage. You're in a cage. And the cage has been designed from you since childhood. It's been designed for you, right, Baked Barton? That's all it is. Where we're not being able to reach our full capabilities and creativities.
Welcome.
Yeah. So, Nolan, Clint, Graham, you know this guy, Dr. Graham Downing.
Yes.
He's in the UK. We went to see him speak last year, myself and Graham. And, he was talking about transhumanism and that kind of stuff. That's 5G. What he was talking about in his speech. But he's been looking at this whole Gardasil vaccine thing, right? I'm trying to find the YouTube video that he was talking. He was on the UK column talking about this. He was talking about how, why give the Gardasil vaccine to boys? Because, you know, it's cervical cancer. This is what's this for? You know what I mean? So this is kind of strange. But it said in it, and listen to this. It said because boys may have sex, underage sex with girls, fine, and they could get it through that. But it said, boys could also have sex with men. Excuse me, with men? So do you see what's going on here? There's a kind of push for pedophilia maybe as well. is it kind of, just putting it out there, boys may have sex with men. Yeah. Why would you say that, you know?
All I can say, man, is hide your cervixes that you don't have. Yeah. Because they're coming for it. Yeah, it's very strange. If you think about it, though, I mean, and I made this point how many years ago, they just added, you know, they only had 15% or 50% of the possible customers, you know, out of the whole population. They just added the other 50%. Yeah, boys need it too. Okay, now we have 50%. They have 100% more customers now because we added boys to the vaccine roster, right? But yeah, it's. I mean, my favorite example, honestly, is tetanus. We joke about the tetanus vaccine. Like, I ask you, have you ever known anybody that's gotten tetanus? I seriously doubt it, because is none.
I don't think I've ever
right. Seen anyone. So you think about it this way, right? And again, I made this point in the blog. If I step on a rust,
by the way, that drug that vaccine, Tripedia, that's for tetanus, isn't it? That's a tetanus shot.
Tripedia, it's a triple one. I think it's like it's kind of like the whooping cough. You know, it's three different vaccines in one. I'd have to look it back up. Yeah. But if I step on a rusty nail, then basically what they say is, okay, well, have you had your tetanus shot? If not, then we're going to give you a tetanus shot after you stepped on the rusty nail, right? Now, I want you to understand that there is not a vaccine in the world, at least in modern days, that has ever said it cures disease. Vaccines are not a cure. Plain and simple. They're a preventative medicine is what they call it, right? So something that prevents is not a cure. By obvious, you know, self-evident reason there, right? You just have to know what the terms mean to know that something that prevents is not something that cures, right? So no vaccine has ever said that it cures. What it will say is that it will cause a immune response. And that's it. That's how you know a vaccine, quote-unquote, works, is that it caused an immune response and that there's an antibody that was created for whatever disease you just put in there, right? Well, you tell me, what's the difference between injecting me with tetanus and stepping on a rusty nail? If I step on a rusty nail, won't my body see a tetanus a disease and create antibodies?
Uh-huh. Sure, yeah.
Well, so what's the difference? isn't in fact a rusty nail, isn't that an inoculation? Isn't that a vaccine?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the difference?
No difference, though.
Right? So what's going on here? How come I stepped on a rusty nail and then as I went into a hospital to get it looked at, you give me a tetanus shot? If a tetanus shot is meant to prevent tetanus, well, wait a minute. If I already have it in me, how can it prevent?
It's the same with all of these drugs too, with you were saying about the small print, you know. They are tucked in the box, Clint. Like I say, they tell you every time, but nobody bothers to read them.
No, and you know, that's where people like me come along and everybody looks down on me for telling them the truth.
Yeah,
and I'm like, well, you just read the damn thing. What? How can you sit there and listen to these our advertisements and look at these? You're telling me that you're not going to read the insert. I mean, I've had doctors that they're like, you know, I'm just a doctor. I don't know what this drug is. I'm just told to prescribe it. I just pulled up my doctors. Nowadays, they look at their computers, right? Just like all of us do for answers. We're carrying around our stupid little, you know, we're all transhuman already because we're carrying around our brains in our cell phones, right? So we look up the answers on our cell phones. So that's what doctors do. It's like, well, what drug do I prescribe for this?
Yes, I noticed that. If you've got a problem, they'll just go and say, these young doctors, I noticed when they started coming into the surgery, they would have books and they would take a book off the shelf and look what pill. They wouldn't even look at you. What's the problem? I got a problem with my knee. They'd get a book off the shelf and look under N and see if they can find the right pill for you. No, that's how stupid they are. It's you know, they don't even look at you these days. You know, they just some doctors don't even lift their head off the bloody table. They got off their, you know, they're just looking down. Yeah, what do you want? Knee problem. Okay. Pull down the book. Look up the pill. Yeah, my kids could do that. My grandchildren could do that. How old do you have to be a doctor now? God damn it. It's so ridiculous. I can't believe they don't look at you.
I went into a hospital. I was still in LA at the time, and I went in. There was a girl, and she, you know, she could barely speak English. She was from Mexico, and she'd gone through the nursing program. And I went in there because my cat had dug his nails into my back, and there was a kitten. And I got a staph infection. And so I went in there, and I'm like, hey, you know, I think it looks like a staph infection. Can you, you know, she's like, staph. And she actually looks up STAFF, like you staff a company, or you staff, you know, your employees or your staff. But staff is actually spelled, you know, differently in the medical jargon. So she's looking for staph disease, and she can't find it. Right? That is the mentality of the typical medical quote unquote professional. And what is a professional? Someone who professes something, right? I profess that I am this. Well, I profess that you're
wrong.
Fucking idiot.
We're all professionals in a way.
I had to tell her that it's spelled with a PH. I literally had to, you know, this is, I felt stupid. I felt stupid on her behalf.
Yeah.
You know, that's, but yeah, that's Kaiser in California. So craziness, man.
Yeah.
Oh, it sure is.
But that also gives you, you know, it gives you an idea. You got to remember that most doctors, they don't go through any kind of training for nutrition unless they specialize in it. They don't study what the ingredients are in vaccines. They don't study the inserts of the vaccines. And if they did, I'm not sure, you know, how they could justify giving a vaccine to anybody, because you read those inserts, it's like, holy shit. Are you telling me, you know, they'll say things like, should not be given to pregnant women, may cause birth defects, may, right? Or it'll say the cancerous properties of this vaccine have not been determined, as sort of a way of saying, well, we're off the hook if you get cancer and you somehow connect it back to this vaccine. Well, we haven't actually done any studies on it, so use at your own risk. It's like it's the nuttiest thing, but not. I've not met a doctor yet that has even given me, or a nurse for that matter, that has given me even a fleeting chance to explain what I've learned to them. They will not listen. They will not listen.
What would you be your advice to people going who are under pressure to get their kids vaccinated or whatever? What can they say to their doctor, or what can they do to, you know?
Well, every action is voluntary. I know people don't like to hear that, but every action is always voluntary, and it needs your consent. Some things are assumed because you are participating in the status of a person, of a legal citizen of whatever country or nation, you know. So a lot of things are presumed that since you're getting a benefit, that you also accept all the bad shit. Right, all the obligations, because you can't have a benefit without all obligations. And when it comes to your children, I think the best thing to do is to understand. Again, I think I'll read this because it's almost unbelievable when you hear it. So I want to read it from directly from the source. This is why I like my I like my blog. It's a good tool for myself because I know it's in there. I can go back. I can search and get the quote. So I'm not just talking out my butt, you know. I did an article called "Do You Own Your Children?" Long time ago, and I put a bunch of court opinions and explained how the system works. Excuse me. And essentially, when you're talking about court, what the court believes, because you filled out the birth certificate, because you basically made your children wards of the state by doing the birth certificate, and you know, gave them their identity and all that, the court For instance, in a divorce case, you know, the way that the government sees it is that you are the head of a corporation. Okay, two legal statuses that are property of the United States, which is myself, the name I go under, and your name as my wife, merged into one single corporation, one single person, and as a corporation, and now we are a married couple, basically, right? And what they call the issue or the profits of that corporation are the children, right? So the issue of that corporation is automatically then a ward of the state. When you sign it up, that you have to actually do the birth certificate and all that stuff. I'm having trouble finding this stuff.
But they are also they're their children, Clint. But they're your property, are they not?
So you have to you know, in all things when it comes to viewing things correctly. In the legal and in the natural, in the realm of reality and nature, right? We have the common language, which we speak sincerely, and we have the legal language, which is wholly unsincere. It alters everything into a fiction. So when you're speaking that – what was the word again? You just asked the question? Sorry.
Property.
They're property.
They're not okay, your children. They're your property.
Consider that – the only thing, property in the legal realm, property is never anything else but words on paper. Okay? Nothing is property, but what is attached to the real thing is a bunch of words on a paper that makes it property. Mortgages, all that stuff, titles, right? All of that stuff. Those are just words. So the property lies in the respect and belief that those words are true in the legal sense, right? But if you look at what a property is when you're speaking of nature, or if you will, God, right? So legal is the opposite of what you'd consider is God's property, which is all of nature, so including us. So you got to consider that what is water? What are the properties of water, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you would say a hydrogen and oxygen in hydrogen in two parts and oxygen. Okay, so oxygen is a property of water. Does that mean that water owns oxygen?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Does oxygen appear in other places? Can oxygen be, for instance, in some other element that right? So you got to see the difference between what it is to be a property of something and what it is to be property.
Okay.
Okay, a property is something that comes naturally or is a natural part of something, but to be property, that means that some word contract or you know, all disease is contracted. So if you're property or you're using the property of another, then you're going to be under the law of that property owner. And that's the difference between the law of God or the law of nature and the law of the legal system is that very thing, because it's all about property. Every word that you use that's a legal term is property. The Bible is a copyrighted book of the Crown. Crown Corporation. It's property.
Hmm.
So you've got to... got to know the difference between what is real and what is fiction, right? You can call it property. You can call your home property as much as you want, but in fact, it's government property, and you are a user.
Okay. The reason I brought that up is like there was a guy that came over here, I don't know, quite a few years, must be 3 or 4 years back now, and used that term to get one of his children back from social services. A guy by the name of Carl Lentz. I don't know if you bumped into his work.
Yeah,
yeah. But he came on the scene and then he left the scene. So how effective that was, I don't know.
I'm having a brain fart. I'm trying to pull up what it is. He was big using the King's Bench thing, right?
Yeah, the Queen's Bench, right.
Yeah. Queen's Bench, yeah. He was a rarity, definitely. I think there was some flaws with some of the stuff he was talking about, but I never really got into his stuff because, you know, I'm so busy.
Yeah.
I'm so busy looking at Source that I don't often get sidetracked with a lot of the stuff that goes on. A lot of these people making claims. Like I said, I'm this weird kind of guy that wants to know how things work. I don't want to know how they work because it pleases me or makes me happy to, you know, or it's because I want how I want them to work. I just want to know how they actually work. And that's kind of rare out here, you know, and when you try to tell people how things actually work, it's often met with harshness. Let's just say that.
Yeah, they don't like the truth, people. It's tough.
But there's no emotion. There's no emotion, and you can't apply emotion in something legal. It's not real. It's fiction. The second you put emotion into a legal situation, you're dead.
Yeah,
it's not real. You can't get upset over something that isn't real. As soon as you realize that, the whole thing starts. You can actually learn it. You know, you can actually see how it's used against you. But as far as the children, I'm really sorry. I'm trying to pull this up, and I just can't. I'm having a brain fart.
That's okay. Yeah, this happens on live shows, you know.
Good old Zap.
See, Sacred Cow Barbecue, Patricia. Hi, Patricia. She put in a good comment here. Best question to ask the doctor is, tell me, doctor, how does the immune system work? They'll usually pontificate for a few minutes. I give them the rope to hang themselves before I say, in other words, you don't know. How I know you don't know is because a PhD in immunology, 5 years of research, admits they don't know. And you have 2 weeks of immunology in second year of med school.
Well, I mean, take what you were talking about earlier with the cancer vaccine. Mm-hmm. Well, so that would imply that you know the cause of cancer.
Yeah.
And yet, how many times have you heard that they've discovered what causes cancer and can cure it? Suddenly there's a vaccine for it? Wait a minute. That doesn't make sense, does it? So here it is. It's called Do You Own Your Children? You can find it on my blog. And I just read a couple of these just so you understand, because I want to know what the state – when I'm a judge – I like to tell people things. I like to pretend like I'm a judge. And I know the maxims of law. I know how everything's supposed to work. I know what you are and what you've done, how you've contracted, and what court and what jurisdiction you're in, right? And so if you're coming in front of me in a marriage situation, then I already know that you are ignorant enough to get – if you're ignorant enough to get married, I already know that you don't know the law because you never would have got married in the first place because all legal marriages are illegitimate. You know, all the issue or the child that is born from a legal marriage. A legal marriage, remember, a legal marriage is an incorporation of two pieces of property. One straw man is getting married to the other straw man. They become one body politic with one last name, essentially, and it can vary. But the point is, the man becomes the head of the household, which means corporation.
Do we?
And the state considers your marriage a corporation.
When do they bring that in?
You can verify that. What's that?
When do they bring that in? The man's he's the head of the household. When do they bring that in?
That's why when you go to a divorce court, they're always sticking it to the guy.
Yeah.
Because the guy is considered to be the head of household. The guy is the person responsible for the quote-unquote marriage. And that's actually why it's always, you know, all the laws and everything. Women call it sexist and but that's actually how the law has been set up since time immemorial, right? The firstborn gets the inheritance, all that. So it's always a man, never the woman, because if the woman marries a man with all your inheritance, well, then your inheritance just got transferred to another family.
Yeah.
So, right, that's common. That's
oh, yeah. I was just thinking I need the wife to listen to this, that's all, to let her know
well,
that
so,
I'm the one who wears the shorts.
In my book, I actually put down a couple things out of Black's Law. It's family car doctrine. You know, everybody's like, well, how am I doing commerce if I'm just driving to the store? No, everything you do is commerce. It's assumed that everything you do. And if your child takes your car under the family car doctrine – family doesn't exist in legalism. There's no family because there's no blood. There's no real things. It's fiction. So when they say family, they mean corporation.
Yeah.
Right? That's the legal, that's the problem with legal jargon, is it has a completely different meaning. The founding fathers. I mean, what kind, is, Bible says call no man father? What are you doing? That's against the law, right? So you got to understand that when, as a person of the United States or a person of England, a person of the UK, that means you're operating per the son. You're acting as a servant to a master, a son to a father, right? Per the son. So here's what the court thinks. Okay, Appellate Court of Illinois. Marriage is a civil contract to which there are three parties, the husband, the wife, and the state. Okay, does that sound like a legitimate marriage that you would do in nature? No.
Is what we all did, though.
That's legal. That's two persons that are already property of the state, and the state getting into a three-way contract where the state is the head. When two people decide to get married, they're required to first procure a license from the state. Why do you need a license? License to do something illegal. Well, yeah, because you're trying to join two separate properties that are not your own. You need the permission of the state to join its property into a marriage, i.e. a corporation. If they have children of this marriage, they are required by the state to submit their children to certain things such as school attendance and vaccinations. Furthermore, at some time in the future, the couple decides the marriage is not working, they must petition the state for a divorce. Marriage is a three-way party contract between the man, the woman, and the state. The state represents the public interest in the institution of marriage. So your child is a public interest. This public interest is what allows the state to intervene in certain situations to protect the interests of the members of the family. What is a member? Where else in life are you a member? You're a member of
a gym club or a football club or whatever.
Right. Yeah. In other words, a corporation. A member of the family, member of the corporation. The state is like a silent partner in the family who is not active in the everyday running of the family, but becomes active and exercises its power and authority only when necessary to protect some important interest of family life. Taking all of this into consideration, the question is no longer whether the state has an interest or place in disputes, such as the one at bar, but it becomes a question of timing and necessity. It also says the state has a wide range of power for limiting parental freedom and authority in things affecting the child's welfare. In fact, the entire familial relationship involves the state. Now, you take that. That is the attitude. That is the what a court believes. That is what the judge believes as an agent for the legal system. He's only going by what the law says and what you've done, which is to contract with the state. And when he says child, what he means is property. Because there is no such thing as a child. He's using a legal term, and he's referring to the thing that you allowed to happen as a parent. You never claimed parental rights. You never claimed paternal rights. In fact, you did the opposite. You said, I'm going to assign my child to the state as a ward, and in return, I'll be able to raise that child and get benefits. That's what you did. So when the state says, hey, your child needs vaccinations, that's when it comes down to these exemptions. Now, obviously, the most important exemption is the religious one, followed by the there's three of them. The personal, the conscientious objection type of thing. And there's one other that I can't think of right now. And these are generally protected. The problem I think most, and this is an answer to your previous question, the problem most people have when they're trying to reject the vaccination thing in their children is that they're looking to join some sort of group or club or class action lawsuit or something like that instead of doing it personally. for instance, a lot of these corporations, these pharmaceutical companies that have harmed so many people, you'll also see advertisements on television here for, hey, there's a class action lawsuit. If you've got cancer from asbestos poisoning or whatever, you know, call this and you'll get in on this class action lawsuit. We'll pay you a few $1,000s for your trouble. So you're actually volunteering to get remedy. And once you get that money, that remedy, you're basically saying, okay, we're fair and square. So they actually want you to go into a group setting, so it's only one case. If you can imagine if a 1,000, 10,000, or a million people sued all in individual cases, what a nightmare that would be and how much money they'd lose. But if you set aside, say, $10 billion, which is nothing for a corporation, into a class action lawsuit, and everybody that joins the class action lawsuit gets a little tiny piece of that, and then everybody's basically been tricked into consenting to saying, okay, you gave me cancer, and I'm forgiving you because you're giving me money, right? That's basically what's happening out there. When it comes to vaccines and avoiding them in schools, you know, you have to do your due diligence. You have to research it, and you have to follow through with the correct forms and exemptions. Personally, I have to ask, in this day and age especially, why any parent would be sending their child to public school.
Because they got too many other things to do.
Right. Babysitting. Well, you know, why don't you just put a phone in their hands and let them sit there and waste away?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's really what it boils down to. And I think you're absolutely right, Graham. It's responsibility. You don't want to take responsibility for what people, men and women, have been doing for ages, which is to raise their children in the proper way.
Absolutely. And that's where it's gone. And feminism's got a part to play in that as well. This big feminist movement is really pissing me off, because you can see what it's doing. I mean, that's just
horrible.
You know, they want equal rights. No, you got them. You've got equal rights, my love. If you want equal rights, sure, dig that trench.
You know, I've ended friendships over this, trying, you know, because, again, I always try to explain things neutrally, right? I try to keep the emotion out, and I was trying to explain to someone I shouldn't. I should have known better. That she asked what I thought about all this feminism stuff and the Me Too movement, since I'm from Hollywood. You know, I was a sound engineer in Hollywood, and I have that experience. And, you know, all those women that are coming out now and talking about how they were so abused. Well, actually, that's how they got their parts. That's how it is in Hollywood. There was no confusion. There was no surprise. They knew what they were doing. Right. And it's well known, if you're inside Hollywood, that's how things work, which is why I got the hell out of there. But the notion of here's the problem, Graham. And I got to tell you, it's such a simple concept. But again, you would never think of this.
No.
What is a woman?
You don't really want me to answer that on air, do you?
It's a word.
Okay.
It's a property. Okay, there's no woman in nature. What do you call a female horse? A horse. What do you call a female cow? A cow. So when I tell a friend that you're not a woman, you're a man, but the fact that you're calling yourself a woman means you're accepting a inferior legal status that's always been considered lower than the male of the species in the legal realm, well, that's going to upset her. Because she wants women's rights. Well, wait a minute. What you really want is equal rights, which means all men are created equal. See, men are male and female.
Yeah.
And that's what we don't understand.
Right.
So we've been tricked into separating ourselves even further from ourselves and from nature by calling ourselves men and women instead of men and just men. But societally and in the dating scene, it certainly would be strange to identify as a man when you're that's the problem. You see, culturally, we're screwed. We have this stuff so ingrained into us that we don't realize that when we say women deserve equal rights as men, that the only reason that women don't have equal rights to men is because they're calling themselves women, which isn't a real thing. It's a legal thing.
Right.
And you can look that up in the dictionaries to see the difference.
That's interesting.
I know, and that it applies all over the any flattering title that's a property of government. I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a teacher, I'm this. Okay, those aren't real things. You know, you're the only way you can be those things is if they allow you to and you sign up to be that thing. Right? When you go to vote and it says, are you a U.S. citizen? You know, you're confirming it. You're voluntarily saying, yes, I am a U.S. citizen. Yeah. Right? I mean, this is the trick, and it happens over and over and over. We're identifying ourselves with words that are property of government, and if you're acting as the property of another, you're in surety to that bond, and therefore you must follow the law of he who created that status or that name, that word, that property. That's how it works, and that's the trick that we fall into in every aspect of life. Yeah. You know who are required to take vaccines? Children. What are children? Remember, we're talking a legal thing. There's no life. There's nothing in reality in the legal system. So what is a child? See, this is how we're tricked.
Civil or criminal, Bri? His Bri's gone off air. I think he's gone off air, Clint. It's just you and me at the moment.
Silent.
Hello. Sorry. Hang on.
He's back. I was saying civil or criminal, Bri.
Well, yeah, I was just going to bring up with Clint, actually. I was just looking at the Irish Constitution here with regards to the family. Clint, see what you think of this. This is Article 41.1. The state, capital S, recognizes the family, capital F, as the natural, primary, and fundamental unit group of society, capital S, and as a moral institution possessing inalienable and imprescriptible rights, antecedent and superior to all positive law. And it goes on to Article point 2. The state, therefore, guarantees to protect the family in its constitution and authority as a necessary basis of social order and as dispensable to the welfare of the nation and the state. Now, this is where the feminism stuff comes in, because I believe there's a referendum coming up here again. We're getting referendums left, right, and centre of this country lately. I think they're trying to undermine this particular document. But anyway, it says, in particular, the state recognises that by her life within the home, woman, so it was interesting what you brought up, woman gives to the state a support without which the common good cannot be achieved. And then the state shall therefore endeavour to ensure that mothers shall not be obliged by economic necessity to engage in labour to the neglect of their duties in the home. What's your take on that? I know it's a constitution, and I know you've talked all about that, but, you know, can this kind of stuff be used?
So here's – you got to always remember, when you're talking about constitutions and such, and remember, every – constitutions are a dime a dozen. The fact that Americans worship their constitution is ridiculous. It's because, you know, I mean, who doesn't have a constitution, right? So – And they're Masonic, by the way, so that's another whole story. But, you know, the Book of Constitutions, Masonic book. So you've got to look at this again, and you have to ask yourself a question, right? Because all Americans who are public citizens, and all the people in the common people — common means basically goyim, or the members of a nation, those who are born in a nation — that's the term goyim and what it really means, because you're not private, you're public, you're not able to govern yourself, you don't know the rules of self-governing, the private law, you're under public law or federal law or national in law of nations, right? So that means you're under contract. And again, when you go back to the maxims of law, say that the contract makes the law, and the creator controls, right? So, taking those two maxims of law, if you're under contract, which is what citizenship to a nation is — remember, a nation is not a territory. It may possess territories, but it's not a territory in and of itself. Our nation is called Washington, D.C. It's not one of the 50 states. We call it a state, or the state, colloquially, but that nation, that thing, is a district. And to be in a district means you've been seized, which is where the word Caesar comes from, which is why they named it a Caesarian section, because you're seizing the baby from being naturally born. That's what a district is. Wow. District means to distrain or put one in distraint and distress and to seize. Right. So that's what we all are as common citizens. Most of us don't know it, and that's okay. The law says that's okay. You don't have to be knowledgeable. You don't have to know anything. As long as you accept the benefits, then you take the obligations, etc. Right? So ignorance is a very, very happy thing when it comes to government. When you're reading a constitution, the constitution applies to those who are not citizens of the nation. That's very important, because what a constitution does generally is to state that the private rights that people already have will not be disturbed. Right. So as a private, quote unquote, citizen of a state, a territory, a piece of land, as opposed to a district, which doesn't exist in nature, a private person that's not bound in contract to the nation would have all those natural rights, as they call them, or God-given rights. And those are protected under the Constitution. Here we have, say, the right to bear arms, which people mistakenly and rightfully so, because that's what's promoted, is the lie that arms means guns. Arms actually means heraldry. It means your bloodline, your family name, and you have the right to bear that heraldry, those arms, capital word arms, to prove your privacy, to prove that you're not one of the goyim of the nation. Right? So you're in the private land. We are all in the district. Okay, that is what the right to bear arms is in this country. I people don't believe me for some reason, but I've proven it over and over. So, you know, your right to free speech, your right to this, your right to that. Those are all – the Constitution simply says that the government will not encroach on those rights. It's not giving you those rights. It's saying you're protected from the nation from taking those things away. That does not count for all of us, because we – are contracted to the nation as its citizen or subjects under the doctrine of volunteerism. Uh-huh. Another word for that is master, the doctrine of master and servant. Uh-huh. That's what volunteerism is defined in legalism. To volunteer is to be a servant to a master. Uh-huh. Okay? So, again, legal language completely different than common language.
Yeah.
When you're reading the Constitution, you cannot put yourself in the shoes of someone who is protected by the Constitution. No United States citizen has any constitutional rights. And I can read you court case after court case that says so. The Constitution is there only to protect the rights that are already possessed by the private bloodlines that create these nations.
Mm. Yeah, makes sense. It makes perfect
sense.
It
does, yeah.
That's why
I see like people going into courts using the Constitution as a form of, you know, well, you can't do this because it says in this book you can't do it.
You treat it like it's some kind of talisman or magic artifact. It's just a bunch of words that really don't even apply to us, because we didn't create this thing. We're not the people here, and you know, we're commoners. We're like I said, goyim by definition. When you go into court, I've heard and I've seen cases where the judge will say, get that goddamn piece of paper out of my court. The Constitution has no place in this court. You're not in that jurisdiction.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
If you don't know the jurisdiction you're in, if you seriously don't know that the Constitution doesn't apply to commercial things, right? You're in a commercial jurisdiction. You're not in somewhere that the Constitution is right that would protect you. If you don't know that, and you're putting that up front in a court case, they know it. That judge knows instantly you are a complete buffoon.
Mm-hmm. I found that out myself, Clint, the hard way, because that's what I did in my mortgage case when I was challenging them. I used the Constitution, but then I realized that this was not This is just an admiralty court. It was just a commercial court. So,
well, you got to realize they're wearing two different hats, right? I mean, they can be a lawful judge, but they're a magistrate acting on behalf of the illegitimate government, which is the nation. You have the constitutional union or whatever it is as the legitimate or the de jure, and then you have every place, every country is set up this way. You have the de jure, and on top of the de jure to control all of the goyim, you have the illegitimate or de facto. In other words, when you say de facto, you're saying it's a matter of fact that this exists until proven otherwise, right?
Yeah.
So if you're a member, a citizen of that de facto entity, which in our case is the United States, in your case, probably I would say it's the UK, or, you know, now it's all the United Nations, all these de facto or illegitimate government things, which again, they're not – we have one elected official in the executive out of millions of people, right? So you're looking at a complete, when our Congress meets, it's called Congress assembled, and that means that they're actually meeting as representatives of the state. But you've got to understand that a state is a people is a state. Our Constitution should have said we the states, but instead they used we the people because it's more confusing. We think that we are those people, but that word people is capitalized, meaning it refers to a certain group of people, not the common citizen. If it was the common person, then everybody would be a citizen of the United States and the whole world.
Is that why they capitalize on the word family in our Constitution and the word society?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. All those words have a specific meaning that – for instance, in America, we have the Bouvier's Law Dictionary of 1856, which was commissioned by Congress to define and become part of the congressional record to define the words in the Constitution. And so you'll find words like happiness, capitalized. Happiness really means business, right? You have welfare, capitalized. Well, what is welfare? Welfare is a system of government. Right, it's Title 42 of U.S. Code. It's Social Security. They don't care about the welfare of you. They're talking about a corporate structure called welfare that they can control you. I mean, what is charity? What do churches do but keep you in poverty by their charity, right? Mm-hmm. What does government do but keep you in poverty by its welfare?
Yeah.
That's how it is.
So it's back to what I said, Bri, that you got to play a simple game. And that is civil or criminal.
This is civil or criminal. That's what we do. I mean, Clint talks about the private stuff. We did a show about that before.
Yeah.
I mean, we could go on about that again. But, I mean, a simple thing that I would do, particularly when it comes to, you know, the silly stuff, you know, I just ask the question, civil or criminal, which is it?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And then if they don't answer, I just walk out and they pull me back in again, civil or criminal. Like, if they say my name, I say, are you addressing me? They say, yes, is this civil or criminal? I just keep doing that.
Next time, bring your birth certificate in and say you're the agent, acting agent.
Acting agent.
Basically, it means you're the attorney, and see what they do. Be funny.
Right. Be interesting, all right. Yeah.
Well, we're coming up to the end of the show, Clint.
Yeah.
It's been great having you on, my friend. Some really interesting stuff there. I know there's the Corporation Nation. What other websites have you got?
The blogs we were talking about is Reality Blogger with one G, realityblogger.wordpress.com. And the last two entries there are the ones we were talking about today. I really recommend people go and just look at all those pictures. I think I send you the links. Maybe you can put them in the chat room or something. But, man, you're going to die. You're just going to die when you see these doctors, you know, doing these things. Yeah. And then my book, you can download my book for free at strawmanstory.info.
See, this is a simple – I mean, we go into the deeper stuff, but this is a simple way that we can go out to people and say, look, you want to know about autism, where it's coming from? Well, there it is and the side effects. Okay, there you go. Now,
I mean, like I said, debate over. You cannot – or no longer say that vaccines don't cause autism, period. End of story.
Well, exactly, yeah.
And those, Clint sent me two links, ladies and gentlemen. One is just a little short essay, and the other one was pictures only. I didn't think on pictures only I was going to be scrolling for about an hour. There's so many
Just looking at the old ads, yeah.
Yeah, Yeah, and the use of cannabis as a teacher.
I've seen a one like Guinness is good for you as well. We have that here in Ireland a lot. You know, a lot of people say, "Oh, Guinness is food," you know, and
Well, now you know.
But again, it's kind of. But then you know, you hear people say, "Oh, I'll have a pint. I'll just have a little bit of Guinness or a whiskey, and I feel great," you know, and it. Maybe it does help, Clint. Maybe it does. I mean, I know how people who rub whiskey into their limbs and everything if they got sore limbs and stuff, and it seems to work, you know.
All that matters is that doctors recommend.
Yeah, so you have to. Yeah, that's
when you. When they're recommended heroin and amphetamines for children, then you know something's wrong, you know.
Yeah.
And now they're recommending.
I'd rather listen to the old wives' tales, you know, the stuff that you got kind of passed down.
Well, that's just it. You know, this is the source of those old wives' tales comes from literally doctors recommending this stuff. Snake oil was a real thing.
Yeah.
You know, you hear a snake oil salesman all the time, but that's a real thing. You know, they had snake oil ointments and cure-alls for everything. And like today, they were saying, you know, cannabis cures all, cannabis cures all. How true it is, I don't know, because that information is coming back from when pharmaceuticals were advertising them.
Mm.
So, I mean, I'm actually interested in someone going and doing the research. Is it true that all this stuff is cannabis and all that is truly a cure-all? Sure, we know it does certain things, but does it do all the things that you know, like it's listed like snake oil as a cure-all for every disease, it seems. And I think that might be a little fallacious, and I think it might be left over from the campaigns of pharmaceutical companies when they were selling it as a balm and a liquid and this. I'm speculating. I don't want to be treated badly because speculating. You know, I'm just saying be careful on what you smoke and what you use, because it's not the same as it was yesterday.
That's for sure. In fact, smoking was good for you, wasn't it? It contains niacin, which is good for you, but before they added all the chemicals. So you know. I know that because
I did hear about niacin is a nicotine oil, right? Nicotine oil. So we're told that nicotine is bad for us, you know. So that's niacin.
But the other thing is
what's
caffeine? How about caffeine? Caffeine falls from coffee beans, and it's actually a pesticide. So, I mean, there's all kinds of things that doctors have recommended.
Not only doctors, but a lot of people are into alternative health and everything are promoting these kind of things, too.
I knew there was a reason why I went off coffee.
You just have to, you know, you do what you do and see what works for you and go with that. But, I mean, I wouldn't go near the pharmaceutical crap that they're coming out with now, anyway.
All I can say is if it's something that you're injecting, you really need to think twice. I don't care what it is, because you have no idea what's. You didn't make it. If you didn't make it, then chances are it's bad. You don't know what's in there.
Exactly.
I'm telling you.
Clint Richardson, thank you so much, my friend. We look forward to having you back on again, and we know we can cover many subjects with you. So thank you so much for coming on. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone in the chat room for dropping in. We do appreciate your support in there. And we hope you enjoy the show, and we look forward to seeing you again next week. Not sure who the guest is yet. So until next week, folks, have a great week, and we'll speak again next week. God bless. Bye-bye.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Wow, okay.
the goyim now.